The topic that we're looking at this evening is about having wisdom, which comes, as we know, from the Holy Spirit, but also that kind of heart to have a kind of ear to God, if that makes sense. So the way we get wise is connecting in with the wise one. And often times, I think of what happened in Paris last night. We need to pray for wisdom for people, don't we? If there's something that they need, it's wisdom in knowing what to do and how to handle situations, those working in government, etc., etc. So it's interesting that we're looking at Solomon and what wisdom looked like this evening to him. Proverbs 24, verse 3, says this. By wisdom a house is built, by understanding, it is established. The rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. By wisdom a house is built, by understanding it is established. The rooms are filled with all pleasant and precious riches. So I thought this evening we'd have a bit of a look at the tale of two houses. Two different ways that we can build our lives. The everyday life on a mission choices we make. And how we choose to place our one brick that we have, multiple use for one prop, is really important, isn't it? Where we put things down, where we place ourselves, what we decide. And so, as we look at this particular passage together, it follows on from where we learnt that Solomon had in fact asked for wisdom, for national leadership in a dream, which is an interesting place to ask for wisdom, isn't it? But there we go, that's what he did. And, in that dream, it talks about how he would be described as having a wise and discerning mind. That's quite a nice compliment, isn't it? And I guess my prayer is that we, as God's family, would be described as having a wise and discerning mind. And as we find out what happens next in Solomon's life and what that might look like, I hope we get sort of a fresh idea, if that makes sense. I hope that God's Spirit will inspire us so that as other people come across our paths, they sort of catch that as well. And so as we look at these two houses, you can probably guess which two. We're not going to dwell on them for too long. I wonder which one you think you are, really. I'm intentionally going to focus on the positive one, because for obvious reasons, because we prefer those. And Jesus paints this picture, doesn't he, of these two houses that both face the storms. There's one sorry one. And one happy, standing, tall one. And these storms are found in Matthew 7, 24 to 27. So it describes this picture that there is a house that is built on sand, and there is a house that is not built on sand, that's built on rock. The house built on sand collapses like a pack of cards when the storms come. The house built on the rock does not. Interesting that both houses, no matter what we build on, still faced storms. Sorry about that. I wish it wasn't the way. But you see, if we build our house, our lives, on the rock of Jesus Christ, it will stand in a storm because it's founded and established and piece by piece goes up upon the rock. And the rock is God, God's wisdom, God's instructions, God's insight, God's knowledge, everything about God, God's right choices. And if you've had those times in your lives where you felt like the waters are rising, the storms are coming, the windows are rattling, things are having a good shaking, life takes a bit of a battering, maybe you've withstood the storm, but you're left with a few wounds and worries. That sort of thing is evidently normal. because storms come. And so being wise and building the right way doesn't mean we have a storm-free life. And being wise is also not having just a wise sentence or two, a really good tweet now and again. It's got to be about more than that, hasn't it? Because if storms are raging against us, one sentence is not going to cut it. But a life carefully balanced on decisions made from insight from God, insight from his ideas, insight from his knowledge, us moving forward in our choices based on how he feels, not how we feel about something. That's wisdom, isn't it? That's a life built up well. So, my Lego. When we're building our lives, we fortunately have been given an idea of what the end result might look like. There's instructions and guidelines and pictures and suggestions on where things can be put at certain points. You can't put the door in, for instance, before you put the bricks around. Everything needs to be in its right order, doesn't it? Oh, that's toppling. There we go. If we build according to our maker's instructions, things will go a bit better than if we don't. Just to, you know, we know that, don't we? But I don't know if we really do that. So how much do we actually consult God with our everyday life on a mission, one step at a time, piece by piece, thoughts and decisions? How often do we look to the Lord and say, well, actually, God, what is your wisdom on this? So let's look at this passage where we learn about this one lady and her visit to Solomon. And it's found in 1 Kings 10. And she was a lady who came with questions. Anyone got any questions? Lots of them, probably. And actually, it's key for us that we have these questions, but it's even more key that we know where to go with them and we go to the right places. And so when we're faced with a storm, when we're faced with what do we do next, when we're faced with here's our day open, what should we do? We need to get those questions to the Lord, don't we? So we're going to journey with this lady and we'll see what we can pull out of her story into our own lives. But this lady is called the Queen of Sheba. Fantastic, isn't it? Already we feel slightly more regal. And she was also known as the Queen of the South. And it's thought that she came up from Ethiopia to Jerusalem. Otherwhere in the scriptures, it says that she came up from the ends of the earth or the uttermost parts of the earth. And I think that's quite an interesting picture, really, that people, when they feel in the uttermost parts of the earth, at the ends of the earth, at the ends of their tether, at the rock bottom of their lives, they will travel to get wisdom, won't they? They'll be not just like crying out for wisdom, but screaming, help me! You know, there's a lot of people probably in government going, help me! And maybe going to the wrong places, worrying what to do. But this queen, she travelled 1,500 miles. I didn't know that before I looked it up. It's quite a long way, isn't it? But her quest was for wisdom and for truth. And so I wonder what efforts we go to find truth from God, to get to the places when we feel at the ends of the earth, if that makes sense. Would we come from the ends of the earth to get to God? What price would we put on having God's wisdom? I had a bit of a funny moment the other week when I realised that the car park opposite the church had given me a ticket on my car. And I was 1 minute over and I was in a right old strop about it. He was stood right by it. And I thought, oh, that's it, I'm not coming next week. And as I drove off with my little mental discussion to myself about how annoyed I was and how I was going to punish the guy because somehow it was his fault, he was ruining my day. I thought, well, when I was in Kenya, people walked 8 hours to come to church. And I thought, oh, I can always walk. And then I just paid the next week and went anyway. But you see, it's funny, isn't it, that we often stop at the first hurdle when we know where we should be, where the answers are. And Proverbs 4, doesn't it, tells us to pursue wisdom at any cost. So let's have a look at this documentation, I guess, of the Queen of Sheba coming to see Solomon. We'll read it from here. Now the Queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord. She came to test him with hard questions. She came to Jerusalem with a great retinue, with camels bearing spices and very much gold and precious stones. And when she came to Solomon, she told him all that was on her mind. And Solomon answered all her questions. There was nothing hidden from her that the king could not explain to her. See, even a queen came to question and learn. She told him everything that was in her heart. And I thought that just sounds such a precious thing, isn't it? She came to him with an openness. And I wonder whether we have that when we come to each other. When we're prepared to say, what's God's wisdom on this? Let's grow. Let's ask these questions. Let's not ever get to a point where we are not sharpenable, teachable, instructable. Because she's a queen and she did it. Anyway, let's keep reading. The Queen of Sheba had seen all the wisdom of Solomon, the house that he had built, the food of his table, the seating of his officials, the attendants of his servants, their clothing, his cupbearers, his burnt offerings that he'd offered at the house of the Lord. There was no more breath in her. Now, I don't know about you, but when she's coming to find wisdom, I didn't expect her to comment on his house, on the clothes of his servants, on how he seated people around his table. I didn't really expect it to be in such a physical way. I was waiting for the tweet quotes. I was waiting for her to come away with the answers to the questions and for us to read about it in Chronicles. But actually, this is everyday life on a mission, isn't it? It's funny, isn't it? How we build our houses. Lord Jesus, should we be putting that extension on the back of our house? I know that sounds strange, but actually we need to ask God the question. Should we be feeding that person that food? I've got a friend who, it's quite funny, every time she has people for dinner, she asks the Lord to guide her as to what to feed them. And every single time they're like, you cooked my favourite meal, did I tell you I like Mexican, etc., etc. But she just asks God because she wants to bless those people. And then she thinks, who shall I sit next to each other? I know they're in a couple, but I'd like that person to chat to that person because I feel like they'd sharpen each other. Or she really takes time on how she sets out the table. I love the fact that it says his cupbearers, how he treated people, shone out the wisdom of God. And when the queen arrived, looking, you know, thrashing out her questions, which that did happen as well, what took her breath away, there was no more breath in her, was all this business. Isn't that funny? And so it's often not the big decisions. It's often the everyday choices that other people watch and see how we did it and notice something different about us. I was talking to a church the other day and they hadn't particularly thought about sitting their small groups in circles. They sat them all in rows. And I was like, have you ever thought that it might build more community to put everyone in a circle so they can all see each other's eyes and faces and share a bit? They're like, oh, no. And actually, that wasn't because I had a great idea. I was like, this is just like, that's what you should do. But it's interesting, isn't it, that what's wisdom to one isn't natural wisdom to another, and we need to just share what we have to offer. And it's displayed in these practical ways. Some of you have heard this story before, so apologies for sharing it again, but not that sorry about sharing it again. But I was preparing to speak at a conference, and I had a lot of questions. I didn't really know what I should be wearing. I didn't know what blurb I should put in the programme about myself. Then they said, what do you want to be called? And I was, they were like, do you want to be called Helly or Helen? And I was like, ooh, what sounds more professional? Maybe I'll go for Helly. Then I was like, oh, no, might sound sort of childish. Maybe I'll go for Helen. And I was sort of flitted around about it, and I thought, oh, I don't know. So I wrote down in my prayer journal, basically, I'm having a small identity crisis. I don't know what to describe myself as, don't know what to wear, don't know how well I'll come across. I need to just get this right, God. Please, could you give me your wisdom? And I had a dream that night of some pink shoes. And I thought, well, that's helpful. And I sort of looked at my wardrobe. I thought, oh, those kind of shoes would match these kind of clothes. That feels very me. I feel like I could pull that look off. And I thought, oh, I don't own any pink shoes. Anyway, so I went into town. I was going to meet my friend for coffee. And I'm walking down one of the streets in Cheltenham. And I heard in my mind, stop. And I'm sort of looking around, thinking, why is nobody stopping? This is like your big moment to stop. And then I was thinking, why would someone shout stop? And I was thinking, oh, maybe it's for me. So I stopped and I looked where I was. And I was outside a shoe shop called Hotter. Anyone heard of that shop? It's not my normal shoe shop. But I thought, well, I'd just have a quick cheeky look. No harm done. And literally, first stand I came to was a stand, and this is not a joke, with the exact shoes that I'd seen in my dream. All details, everything, same heel, everything, wedged. And I thought, oh, they're the ones. Let's see if they've got my size. That was the only size. So I took them to the till, and I started to feel like, yeah, I can just really imagine myself speaking at this conference with this outfit. They're going to look really great. Anyway, I'll show you what happened. This is what came up on the till. I was like, I'm sorry, how do you know my name? How do you know that my name's Helly? And they were like, well, no, that's not your name. That's the name of the shoe. So, the point being, not really about shoes, is it? Being about God is the wisest of the wise of the wise from Wiseville, because he knew what I should be calling myself. He knew that I would be walking on that street that day. He knew what would suit my foot, not someone else's foot. He didn't want me to try and dress like one of the other speakers. I'd Googled them and they were very like black stilettos, black suit. And I was like, I am just not going to be rocking that look. But this was me. Do you see? This was the wisdom of God clothing me, because I was panicking. It was the wisdom of God saying, I know your name. I know where you'll be walking. I know what you've been worried about. I know what's been on your mind. And just like with the Queen of Sheba, that took my breath away a little bit. And when I tell the story to other people, particularly teenage girls who are going through a sort of a bit of a crisis of identity, and as we all do, if we're being honest, what shall I wear? It takes their breath away, because it points to a God who knows. It points to the one that we talked about on the first night, the God who guides, the God who's present, the God who's speaking into our lives. And just like he knows my name, he knows your name. Just like he wanted to speak to me about something that was seemingly small but actually quite significant, he wants to speak to you guys. And he wants to kind of write wisdom into your life, you know, into the workplace, into our homes, into our relationships, into the government, into business, into the media, into a classroom. Every single detail, big or small, we've got to believe that our God has something to say, so that every piece that goes in goes on the rock, from the rock, in the order, and in the right place that God would have us put it. And so we often want to know, what does wisdom look like out there for them? But actually, what does it look like in here for me, in here for you, in here for us? You know, in our hearts, how we process things, how we interact with each other, where we sit down. You know, like, I've been sort of saying to God, well, which table should I sit on as I come back with my food? And I think, oh, I always have the most amazing conversations. First time I met my friend Beatrice, it's been an absolute treat to sit next to her twice. I did it twice. And and then turns out she wouldn't have come and sat next to me at all. And she was saying how she's got this book. Do you mind me sharing? Too late, I've already said it. Good for you. So she's got this book, and the first page of her book is the passage and a description about Jacob and his wrestling with God. And she looked at it today. Was it today? Yeah, she looked at it for the first time today. She was like, God is trying to tell me something. You see, God is. That's the point, isn't it? And God needed to tell me that I hadn't planned talks that were completely irrelevant to people's lives, because I had that fear come over me, literally that second, and then she said that. And I was sitting next to her. So do you see how just, even just the asking of the questions to God, that's the answers in that. And so sometimes the answers aren't the answers. It's in the asking. It's the very fact that we say, Jesus, you are Lord, and therefore I don't just crack off making my choices. I check them through you first, and then I let things unravel. It's so important. It's so important. Otherwise, we may as well just not have him as Lord of our lives, to be honest. May as well just crack on and make our own decisions and ask God to bless everything, which you can do if you want, but there's a better way. There's a better way. And so in my physical home, I've decided to start placing things as strategic reminders to the goodness of God. So I started praying around the house. My friends thought I was going bonkers. I was like praying around the house and saying, Lord, is there a colour in this room that you want to shine out as a theme? And one room, I just saw this beautiful, sounds weird, but it was like a beautiful grey, not a kind of drab, dreary grey, but a really nice grey. And immediately I thought of just the greyness of the Dove of Peace. And it's a spare room. And everyone who stays there always says, I just don't know what it is. As soon as I walk in this room, I just feel, oh, I feel so at peace. They don't say that about the lounge or the other rooms, which have equally been prayed in as much. But that is God's identity over that room. And in my room, I've bought some gemstone lampshades, because one of the visions that God gave me when I went off self-employed working for different churches was gemstones on my chest to represent all the different tribes. So I like having something that reminds me of how God's spoken, keeps me on track, reminds me of his goodness, and it's in my home so that I get that reminder of, you know, don't just crack off on your own, Helly. You know, remember on a bad day I told you to do this. Remember the goodness of God. And so you see, just like the Queen of Sheba went off thousands of miles to look for this wisdom, to ask her questions to that king, we have got to do our bit to ask questions to our king. And Solomon was good, but he wasn't a scratch on Jesus, was he? And so in Matthew 12:42, it says, the queen of the south will rise up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, something greater than Solomon is here. I love that. Jesus is like, something greater is here. I wonder what it could be. Ahem. But you see, when we need truth, we need to ask the one who is truth. When we need wisdom, we need to go to the one who is wise. When we feel like we're lacking, we need to go to the good shepherd who says, you will not be in want. When we feel hopeless, we need to go to the God of all hope. When we need guidance, we need to go to the one who is our guide. And so let's just go back to the passage and see what happened as a result of this peculiar visit from this queen. She said to the king, the report was true that I heard in my own land of your words and of your wisdom, but I didn't believe the report until I came and my own eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told to me. Your wisdom and prosperity surpass the report that I had heard. Happy are your men, happy are your servants who continually stand before you and hear wisdom. Blessed be the Lord your God, who's delighted in you and set you on the throne of Israel. Because the Lord loved Israel forever, he's made you king, that you may execute justice and righteousness. Then she gave the king 120 talents of gold and a very great quantity of spices and precious stones. Never again came such an abundance of spices as these that the Queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. There's a blessing for the wisdom as well, isn't there? And she doesn't just bless Solomon with these gifts, but she actually turns to God because of it, and then wants to bless him. And God wants us to be raised up like Solomon's, I think, to have people coming to us, and for us to be generous with our space that we have, and wise with our instructions, and patient with our time as people ask us questions, because people have a lot of questions, don't they? And you can't get all the answers on Google. Google's good, but it's not all there. I had some really bad eczema, and my friend was praying for me, and she said, I just feel like you're meant to put this certain oil on it. And so she ordered it for me off the internet. She said she was really convinced of it. And I put it on, and it completely went, all of my eczema. And that wasn't like a, you know, miraculous prayer. It was listening to God and following his instructions. And I just think there's blessings in it for us as we make ourselves available to just hear the Lord on these things. And so we can go to him with the final piece of instruction on an issue, confident that he wants to really speak to us. He says his sheep know his voice. So we're not fumbling around in the dark, are we? We've got a God who trusts us to be able to hear him. And he doesn't think that there's a failure in the system for us hearing his voice. He said, you know, I'm going to work through you. I'm going to display myself through you. I want to speak to you. So let's just have a couple of looks at some other verses about wisdom. So Proverbs 1 says that the world is calling out for wisdom and truth. And it personifies wisdom. It kind of says that she is crying out aloud and has something to say in the streets, in the shops, in the entrances. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 2 verse 14 that the foolishness of Christ is wiser than the wisdom of man and is discerned by the Spirit of God. James tells us that if we want wisdom, we just need to ask. It takes all the pressure off, doesn't it? And so we have a kind of challenge, I guess, of building our lives on God's rock so that we can stand strong in storms, or we build a different house. A house where we don't ask God's opinion ever. A house where we don't line up against his truth. A house where we just plonk our bits in wherever we think we want to put them because they look nice there, and see what happens. Proverbs 9 is contrasting wisdom and folly, saying they're both screaming out and kind of beckon us in one way or another. It says that wisdom's built her house, set her table up, and we can walk in the way of insight. But then it talks about the woman folly being loud and seductive, but knowing nothing, offering nothing but sweet stolen water, and ultimately death. Not very nice, is it? When you think about the two choices. So it is important for us to work out which house we're really building. And it's also possible to have a divided house, I think. And again, the scriptures say in Mark that a house divided against itself is not going to stand. So we need to have a way of getting things straight, don't we? Of lining things up. The Bible speaks of a plumb line coming in for the people so that we can build our lives up against the truth and the word of God and get our kind of independence in line with what God would have to say for our lives, and lining up against his truth, lining up against his lordship again. Wisdom always lives from what God's word says to be true, not just what we feel is true or is our experience. So wisdom is knowing God's word is going to stand eternally, even when the storms come and give us a good shaking. And Solomon's wisdom didn't really begin with him just knowing all the right answers himself. He had to ask God in that prayer for this gift of wisdom. Proverbs 9 says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's not a kind of like, ugh, I'm meant to be scared of God, but it's a kind of holy reverence that I need to check this with my Lord. I want to build my life carefully according to my God. And so I think I'll close this evening by praying, actually, a prayer that Paul prayed over the church in Ephesus. And it's a really amazing prayer. And then I think we'll pray for each other. Because we'll have all sorts of things kicking off in our heads where we need the wisdom of God. And you'll know what they are for you. They might not be, you know, an identity crisis over your name and your outfit like me. But we'll have our stuff, won't we? And, you know, what does it look like to have a wise response to that child in the classroom? What does it look like to have a wise response in the business that we're running? What does it look like to have a wise response when our neighbours wanting us to pull our hair out? All of that stuff, you know, God has something to say today, doesn't he? And often he uses us and each other to help bring that wisdom as we say to the Lord, we're asking for it. Ask and we'll receive. Seek and we'll find. So we're coming to God. But why don't we just close our eyes and let's almost receive this prayer into us. Lord, we just pray again these amazing words of Paul to the church in Ephesus. And as they kicked off and took feet as such in the early church, God, would it kick off in us this amazing gift of wisdom that you give us. And we pray these words that may the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the full knowledge of him. And may our eyes of our hearts be enlightened in order that we may know what is the hope of God's calling. What are the riches of God's glorious inheritance in the saints? And what is the incomparable greatness of God's power towards us who believe? And Holy Spirit of God, we ask for your wisdom. And maybe just like you would put your hands out to receive a gift, why don't we put our hands out in an openness to say, God, we need your wisdom. We ask you, as Solomon asked you, for a wise and discerning mind. That in these times of great confusion, where we serve a God who is not a God of confusion, would you bring truth and clarity and discernment and wisdom into your church now in the name of Jesus, Lord? Would you bring that to us, God? And if there are things that you know at the moment you really could do with the wisdom of God on, specific things, what I want to encourage us to do is to actually stand up. So don't be shy, just take a stand to say, I could do with input on this. And you know, as we've heard already, storms come to all of us and we all need wisdom. So if we're near any of these people, why don't we gather around using the hand on our body and just place it on the shoulders, perhaps, of our brother or our sister who stood. And let's pray for that wisdom to come.